Well, right now we're going to go to an interview that James conducted with a Dutch anarchist squatter. Without further ado, he's going to talk about it.
Yeah, well, in Holland, a lot of the anarchist movement is based around the squats, and they form an informal network of people who get together and they protest on a lot of things, from environmentalism, anti-fascism, just general anti-capitalist, like the big WTO stuff we talked about, and the anti-G8. And unlike in Australia, where all these different we don't really have much of an anti-fascist movement, but the environment and anarchist are quite separated. In Holland, they're very much one and the same thing. So I stayed up till 6 a.m. in the morning, and I got Jasper here on the phone, and we had a good natter about it.
And we are going to play this over a couple of weeks. This is a quite lengthy interview, and we do apologise for some of the sort of poor sound quality in bits throughout. We are trying our best to improve our phone interview qualities, but if it is a bit hard to understand in parts, then we do apologise for that. But so, without further ado, here's the first part.
Squatting used as a political tool in the Netherlands.
But there's a long squatting tradition in Holland. The place where I live is Utrecht. Yep. And there are more than 100 squats here in a town of about 300,000 inhabitants. But of course, a lot of them aren't completely political. Some are more political than others. And some are just artists or homeless people who squat but don't do any actions of some sort. But I guess in most places in Holland, activist scenes are larger than in other countries, especially the squatting actions.
What kind of actions go on?
There's a lot in Holland. There's a lot of actions for refugees. Those are very important to us. Helping illegal people just in like daily life. We do squatting just to give housing to them, because they, of course, they don't have any right to public housing or anything else. Try to get them some work or a little bit of money, stuff like that. So actions like that. I'm especially involved in environmental actions with Dutch First.
Yeah.
Those are run also with squatting actions. Because when the campaign we're doing now against the train line that's being constructed between Rotterdam and the Hoorspiet, so it will be the most important cargo train line in Europe, because those are the two most important the most important industrial areas, of course, the Ruhrgebiet in Germany, and the most important port in the largest port in the world is Rotterdam. So it's one of the biggest infrastructural projects in Europe, and the way we are fighting that is also by squatting places that are going to be demolished on the route. And other kinds of actions we do with Dutch Air First is a lot of mass trespassing actions, occupying building sites and stuff like that.
Okay, so the squats give people places to live. Of course.
Yeah.
Are they used in any other ways?
Well, it depends. It depends on which city. In Utrecht, the student housing and youth housing is very bad, and public cheap housing in general is very bad in most of the larger cities. Very expensive, and there's a lot of gentrification going on. So also squatting is very important to be active against gentrification. It was for me personally, I was containers and stuff like that.
Okay, so how big is a big squat? I mean, how many people would live in a squat on average?
Well, the average squat is like an average house, so it's usually the usual houses are built here for about four people, and most squats are built for about four or five people. But there are some larger squats with up to 20 or 30 people living in squats.
Okay.
But a lot of the larger squats have been evicted during the last years, which is also a big problem, especially in Amsterdam, because a lot of the places for free expression have been done away with by the city council.
Under what pretense?
Well, it's just they usually for demolishing and gentrification.
Right.
They have to demolish it and put the luxury villas or luxury apartments in the city centers.
Okay. Have you had? Is there much anti-fascist activity going on in the Netherlands?
Not very much anymore. There's a lot of the fascists are a lot into the new right thing. Doing away with skinheads and Nazi symbolism, but at the same time getting more populist and trying to attract more normal people and more middle class people, more intellectuals, and they are not very active in public anymore. There's no importance. There's not parties of any significant size in parliament or anywhere else anymore. They fucked up in the last elections. But in the background, I think they're steadily rebuilding again. So we are still on a regular basis doing actions, and especially doing anti-fascist research.
So what kind of actions would you do specifically?
Well, the last big anti-fascist action in Holland was about half a year ago, where the fascist movement was having their yearly kind of congress in just informal meeting place for fascists to discuss the things that are going on in their movement. And what we try to do is to figure out exactly where and when they're going to have that, and make sure that they just can't meet. So we just go there with 500 people. Of course, we organize ourselves in secret then as well, and without them knowing it, we'll be there just a bit before they will be there, and they can't have their congress, and we succeeded in that.
Okay.
So if you keep on doing that, they can't have any large-scale meetings. So we're just trying to make sure that they can't get organized.
So how do you organize secretly getting 500 people in one place?
Well, there's a network of anti-fascist groups in most cities. And it's just the good things about the plots is that they're also like an informal infrastructure for these kind of things. That the anti-fascist collective in a town they meet together and exchange information. And when they say, "Oh, there's going to be a extreme right congress," then we'll make a flyer and in every town and get a bus from every town and could just not phone up but just go to all the political squads and give them the flyers. what you're going to do with all the people who are involved. And then you go to the patients, well, hopefully make sure that the Congress doesn't go through.
Okay.
But well, we can we do the same kind of organizing actions with other type of actions, also with environmental actions and stuff. But well, it's not always that secret. Sometimes we just publicly announce where the buses are leaving. But we, of course, we don't. For example, we don't announce what place we're going to do mass trespassing.
Okay. Did you do much on
Sorry?
Did you do much on cross-border protests or actions?
Cross-border?
Yeah. Like
what do you mean?
We've read reports of things like train bunking, just people getting onto trains and crossing the border and to protest in other cities, like with the ATGA meetings in Cologne in Germany.
Yeah. Well, we started with that last year, and we tried to get to Cologne, but we didn't succeed. We got beaten up by German police and got sent back. And we tried again sometime later, and we didn't succeed again. Well, only a little group about of the 100 people or so starting out, about 10 made it. So we're not being very successful at that, but we'll try again. But we usually organize buses to those kind of large-scale international events.
Yes, I had the German left has been having quite a lot of trouble from police crackdowns. You can anything about that?
Well, I'm not very involved in the support for the Berlin squads and the, I think also Hamburg squads that are having a lot of these troubles. But I know from also from our city and from. Amsterdam, the groups are regularly going there to support them. And well, usually there are groups going to large anti-fascist demos in Germany as well.
Okay.
But it's a bit of different kinds of like sub movements that are having different contacts with different countries. The anti-fascist groups are have a lot of contacts with Germany, of course, and we have more contacts with England and a bit with France. And recently, we had a kind of support tour for the Basques, also environmental action groups of Basque people coming here to do an action tour with us. They also went to England, so there is a lot of exchange, I guess.
Okay. So you're talking about how you're helping people, immigrants, escape, get out of the fortress Europe problem. How do you help them specifically? Like, you said getting jobs and stuff. Like, how would that all work?
Yeah. Well, of course, it's a very hypocrite situation. They're about... Holland has, I guess, is about... as much inhabitants as Australia, about 16 million. So Australia, about 17 million or something.
Yeah, it's about 20 million now.
All right. Of them, besides the 16 million, there are more than 100,000 illegals living here, and everybody knows they're living here. So do the government. They shouldn't be here, they say. But the Dutch agriculture is strongly depending on their labor force to compete, because of course these illegal immigrants will do the work, which is quite nasty. And this work is usually being done by illegal immigrants and by example, in the squats on the beta route, which are going to be evicted in a short while. Well, we had some people from Bangladesh and from Iran, and they were illegal also, but of course they wouldn't return because they were actually political refugees. Although I hardly care if people are, well, this stupid distinction between political and economical refugees. They were completely stuck. They couldn't go back to where they came from. But they were great if they couldn't get yet they were just in regular fix. So there are more or less legal organizations, not only by squatters, but also a lot by churches and groups like that who try to support these illegals.
You're tuned to Radio Freedom Anarchy on the airwaves on Community Radio 2XX98.3 FM. And we must leave that interview for this week. Interview with Jasper, Dutch Anarchist Squatter, and that will be continued on next week's program. That is all we have time for this week. Our contact address again, PO Box 3859, Western Creek, ACT 2611, or if you have email access, radiofreedom@hotmail.com, and our website is finally up to date, www, and very many, many thanks to James for doing that, www.freespeech.org/radiofreedom/, and you'll find the program up there in real audio format if you can't regularly listen, and you have obviously internet access at home or work or whatever. No, if you're listening to it work, you are got rather more guts than any of us here do. Or you have a sound card on your computer at work, unlike me. Well, that is basically all we've got time for. We'll be back next week at 11 o'clock. Keep listening to 2XX. You never know what you might hear if this is the only program you listen to. We're going to go another track from Godflesh. This is called Defiled.